Welcome back to Growing in His Word. God bless you guys, man. What a blessing today. Last week we were in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and we're taking off back off of 24. And may the Lord Jesus bless you, and may the Holy Spirit come now. Father, we come, Holy Spirit, teach this beautiful chapter, Father. In your name, Jesus, we ask that you aid. Amen. God bless you guys. Welcome back to Growing in His Word. Welcome back to the podcast. Welcome back to the radical teaching of the Word of God and the loving message of hope. Jesus Christ is in love with you. He's coming back. Listen, believers, last week we talked about the coming of the Lord Jesus and what are the signs of the coming of the Lord? What are the, radical times of the coming of the Son of Man? And, no one really knows the day or the hour, but the signs are here, and we see how God fulfills His promise, and that He's coming and that He's in love with us. And so last week we left off in Matthew chapter 24, and what a joy it is. This should be a radical wake-up call of, wow, what do we need to be doing about your business, Father? And so here we are today in Matthew chapter 24, taking off from the last verse of Matthew chapter 24, and we see verses 24, and it says, great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. That was the Antichrist. We talked about how it says, and if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will rise, and they will show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. And it goes on to say, see, I have told you beforehand. See, this is Jesus talking here now, believers. This is in red. Words of red mean Jesus Christ is talking. And he says, listen to this. For he is in the inner rooms. It says, do not go out. Look, he is in the desert. Do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and the flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man, be. It's radical. For wherever the carcass is there, the eagles will be gathered together. Listen, believers, Christ's return will not be confined to a desert or in some inner room. When Christ returns, His coming will be so spectacular that everyone will know that He arrived. I mean, it's going to be boom. Angel Gabriel is going to blow his trumpet. People are going to drop to their knees. You're going to hear it if you're a believer. If you really have the Holy Spirit in you and Jesus is living in you, you're going to go whoosh, caught up, raptured up. The Bible says harpazo. No, it doesn't say the rapture in the Bible. It says harpazo, which is Greek for the word caught up, to be snatched away of a twinkling of an eye. Boom. Every eye will see and every ear shall hear. And it's radical because you're going to see a lot of people left behind. You know what I mean? It's going to be pretty crazy. It's going to be really crazy. It's going to be amazingly crazy. And Jesus has left a sign. He's saying, look, wherever the carcass is, there is there where the eagles are going to be gathered. This is a sweeping statement, and it conveys an image of the horrible carnage that will take place in the judgment of the coming of the Son of Man. He's coming to judge. Luke chapter 17 verse 37 says it. Because immediately after that, the verse moves chronologically to the close of the tribulation, a period that will basically be marked with the monumental cosmic disturbances. Look at Isaiah chapter 13 verse 10 and 34 verse 4. Or Ezekiel chapter 32 verse 7. How about Joel chapter 2, verse 30, 31, 3:15, Haggai 2:6, Zechariah 14:6, Revelation 6:12. the signs of the Son of Man, it's here. It's coming. It's a wake-up call. Verse 27 says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and the flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will gather together." And immediately, listen, believers, it says it in Mark chapter 13 also, and Luke 21. It says, immediately in verse 29 of Matthew 24, "After the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth," who is Israel, the Hebrews, "will mourn. And they will see the Son of the Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power." They're going to be like, "Oh God, the Mashiach is coming. And great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet." Boom! "And they will gather together as elect from the four winds, from the end of the heavens to the other. And then this will be the sign." Listen. You guys, don't be scared. Rejoice. It's coming. Jesus Christ is in love with us. And he's coming. All the people are caught up in themselves and they don't understand anymore. They're all about themselves. "Don't I look pretty? Look at me. Dude, you're going to get old and be wrinkled and nasty like everybody. Don't worry about yourself. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let's think about others. If Jesus wants us to follow him, he also wants us to think about others. What can we do for others?" "Well, I don't have anything." Then get on your knees and pray for them. We have to understand that if Christ really lives in us, then we have to pour out our love and our mercy. Look, we all struggle. Life's a struggle. We're going to fall, man. There was a song they had years ago. "What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my, step or my grip and make fools of us all?" Look, believers, there's room for growth. There's room for change. There's room for repentance. But we got to repent like Mars Hill, like Paul talked about. Repentance is the key to forgiveness. If we, that's it. It's just that simple, believers. We fall, we get back on. But here we are. We're moving close to the tribulation period that will be marked with the monumental cosmic disturbances. We're seeing it. Last week I talked about the earthquakes and the hurricanes. Here we are. It's happening. "Well, God's punishing us." No. No, he's not. He's warning you. Let's look at the fig tree. Immediately after the tribulation, we see now, verse 32, now learn this parable. Because before that, in verse 31 says, "He will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet." Boom, you're saved. Bam, you're gone. You're out of here. You're raptured. "And they will gather together the elect from the four winds, from the end of the heaven to the earth, other earth to the other." Listen to this. Verse 32. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender, and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So also will," listen to this, so you also, "when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors." At the doors, apostrophe. That's Jesus Christ, man. Verse 34 says that. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." You can bank on the word of God, believers. You can bank on the word of God because Jesus Christ said, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was God." Listen, God is so radical. He loves you guys. Listen. You remember Noah, okay? It's going to be pretty bad. But listen, you got to hold on. Listen. It says, but of that day, an hour, no one knows, not even the angels. No one knows when he's coming of heaven, but my Father only. But as these days, listen, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. They were partying, woo, making fun of Noah. Look at you. Look at you. Everyone's just eating their enchiladas and their falafels and shawarmas. They're having a good time. They're just, gossiping and, making money the wrong way. They're demonically possessed. The people are just laughing at Noah because they didn't believe that God was going to come back. For as in the days of the flood, and they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered that ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. See that? Took all the bad people away. God destroyed the bad people because they're bad. They're so bad, they're so nasty, they're so full of themselves that God took them. Prideful. Well, that's mean. No, that's what happened. God wiped them out. They were nasty. Fornication, bestiality, you name it, it was there. But God says, if you're a believer, he's going to take you out of here. He's going to rapture you. Listen. He said, verse 39, and did not know it until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. The rapture. Two women will be grinding in the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists don't believe that. They don't believe in the rapture, but they believe that God's coming back. It's very interesting. I mean, there's not too much difference salvation-wise between, the Adventist church. But I believe in the rapture because I don't want to miss the mark. I believe he's coming for us. He's coming for the church of Philly. And I believe that we're in the church of Laodicea now. We're in Revelation chapter 2. We see it. Well, I don't know because, Pastor, there's so many other things not happening. No, well, John didn't put the, Revelation in order. It was never in order. That book was never in chronological order. They were not in order. Here, listen. 42 says, this is more important. Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour when the Lord is coming, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at the hour you do not expect. This is for non-believers and believers who try to play Las Vegas with God, okay? It's amazing. They roll the dice and I have Jesus Christ. They call it one foot in, one foot out. They do the hokey pokey and they turn themselves about. And people living in the tribulation need to be alert because they should prepare for the return of Jesus Christ. And one might say, well, how do we prepare? How do I prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ? Well, we must read. But the world around us has us so occupied and busy that we don't read. We don't want to be caught up and left behind because we're too busy about the way we look or the way we talk or the way we dress or how much money we have or how many people are in our church. Jesus is being very loving here, and the Son of Man is coming at an hour that we don't expect. Okay? And so Verse 45 says, listen to this, who then is faithful and wise servant who his master made rule over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is the servant who his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servant and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him. And listen to this. And at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of the teeth. Here we see the remorse of those who have suffered a great loss. Believers, the two servants illustrate the two attitudes that people will have concerning Christ's return. The faithful and the wise servant will be given more responsibility in the Lord's kingdom, and the evil servant will be cut in two. And this is a form of judgment, and this is used in the ancient world. And so we see this weeping and gnashing of the teeth, hell, fire, sulfur. We see for the ones who played people their whole life, who acted like they were a believer, they went to church, they put on the pretty little suit and tie. Oh, I see it. You're judging. Oh, no. No, I have seen how the enemy works. He's in your churches. He's in your workplace. He's in your, even in your household sometimes. Believers, the enemy is a liar, but he's a lion that seeks to destroy your relationship with Jesus Christ. He wants to plant thoughts in your mind that you'll never be able to complete anything, whether it's any project that you started. He wants to lie to you, deceive you, manipulate you. This is a war. We believers are at war, spiritual war. You'll never make it. That's what the devil tells you. You'll never be good enough. You'll never amount to anything. You can't succeed. You can't get up. Just lay in bed and die. That's what the devil says. Jesus says, get up. I am in you. I will never leave you nor forsake you because I love you. I'm with you always. Don't have any fear. Fear comes from the devil. I rebuke it. And even the winds and the storms cannot take you, your soul. God says, I will always be there for you, no matter what. Even in the storms that you're going through right now in life, whatever storm you're going through, whatever storm you're facing, whatever problem that you have, Jesus Christ is saying, I can take your problem and bury your sins in the abyss, the bottom of the ocean, and leave them there and never throw them in your face. Satan says, no, I'll throw them in your face, make you feel guilty for what you did last night or what you said or how you feel. I'll make you feel guilty. The enemy tries to guilt you and shame you. He tries to condemn you. And Jesus says, I will convict you, but I won't condemn you because I love you. And I chasten the ones that I love. I spank them to get them back in their place. Listen, believers, Jesus is saying, wake up. Wake up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is a phrase, this is in Greek, it's called He Basilia Ton Oronon. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is radical. We want to be like the true servant. We want to be like the servant who is wise, the faithful and wise servant. He will be given more responsibilities in the Lord's kingdom, but the evil one will be cut. Look, the flood's coming. God's showing you that he loves you. Verse 31 over here talks about how God is going to gather. Listen, He's going to gather the elect, God's people, both Jews and Gentiles, and they'll gloriously begin Christ's reign, like it says in Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Jeremiah 16, Ezekiel 34, 13, and the fig tree shows the true meaning of Jesus Christ. How the signs, the branches, they become tender. This is the coming, when we see the signs of Jesus described in this passage, believers. We're getting too advanced. We're getting too far out there. The Bible says, to and fro, man. It's here. We're God's coming soon. Well, I don't believe that. Okay, be deceived by your booze and your self looks and your hair and your teeth and your... Okay, get into yourself deeper and get far away from God. That's what's happening right now, believers. And we see it. Listen, we're gonna talk about chapter 25 when it says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be like 2:10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Listen to this. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took the oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They got lazy. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. This is Jesus talking. Verse 7 says, then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no. Lo, in Hebrew, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But listen to this. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the doors were shut. Listen to this, believers. It's crazy because the 10 virgins were waiting for the wedding procession that went from the bride's home to the home of her husband. And the nighttime procession would use the lamps to light the way because ancient cities didn't have the street lights. So it was beautiful. It was a good setup. But the good servant is described as the faithful and wise. The parable of the 10 virgins explain the need for wisdom. It follows the parable of the talents. It shows the need for faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful, prudent, wise, prudent. The oil is being prepared. If you don't have your oil, you're not prepared. You need oil. Because if you're not prepared for Christ's return, that's it. The door's going to be shut. Shut on the kingdom. You see, because the unwise virgins were not ready when Christ returned. This is compared to the wedding feast in Revelation 19. Dude, we got to be ready. We got to get ready, believers. It's happening. It's Jesus is coming. Look at this. In verse 6 says, and at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. It's the Lord. Listen. Like the Lord's coming back. Look at this. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Dude, can you give you some of my oil? You can't just give someone the word of God all the way and then, you know, I mean, one day, here you go. Here's the whole Bible. Eat it now. Dude, you got to get ready. You can't be a doctor in 1 year. Okay, here I come. I'm coming to the ER now. Dude, get away from me. Don't touch me. You're trying to, you know, stitch me up. And same thing. Get ready. You need to get ready. You can't do a job you don't know. It's like driving my buddy Caesar drives a semi, big truck, you know, and he trains people. And you can't just, Caesar just can't go to work and grab a new guy and here, get in the truck. Yeah, you just got your license. Now drive. Are you kidding me? It's 53-foot semi. You're going to bang into things. No. The guy needs experience. Then Caesar teaches him, this is how we back it up. This is how we make our turns. This is how the job wants this. Same thing when it comes to God's kingdom. You need to be ready. Be ready because you can't just get in a big truck. You got to learn how to drive the car. Jesus is saying, get in the go-kart. Now get in the car. Then get in the big truck with my boy Caesar. It's a lesson. But don't do anything. You can't just stop and not do anything. We must study the word of God because Jesus is coming. He's coming. We need to keep that oil and anoint our houses and anoint our feet, anoint our lives with this oil. Just we need to keep our lamps burning with this oil that Jesus gave this on this parable. Take the oil, put it in your hand, smell it, wipe, get ready, anoint your head, anoint your friends, anoint your Jesus said it. Listen to this. And verse 6 says, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answer said, no, lest there should not be enough for us. But go rather to those who sell it and buy it for yourselves. Basically, go buy a Bible and read it. And while they went to buy the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. That was it. They couldn't do it. They couldn't go to heaven. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, surely I say to you, I don't know you. I do not know you. Because we need to know him. Believers, we need to know Jesus. He wants a personal relationship, not a Holiday Inn. I don't know you. It's sad. Watch therefore. It says in verse 13, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Because he's coming like a thief in the night, man. For those who don't know him. And that's the sad truth. Jesus Christ is coming for those who don't know him. I mean, you're going to get left behind. He'll come like a thief in the night. One day we'll be raptured out. The ones will be left behind. They'll have no oil. The oil is used to anoint also, to anoint believers. The oil is very precious. Jesus had the oil. Jesus was anointed by his feet with her hair. The woman with her hair with her oil. It's real. Listen, believers, take your oil and be the light. Be the lamp. Be the lamp for others. Believers, be the light. Start getting out there and let your light shine. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be the light. Be the light. Be the fruit. The fruit tree. Bear the fruit. So people can just pick the bunches of pears and grapes and oranges off you and say, wow, what a blessing this guy is. And lead them to Jesus, man. Lead them to Jesus. Father, we come before you. We thank you for this chapter, Father. And as we study your word next week, we're going to talk about the parable of the talents. We're going to talk, Lord, about your coming, Father. Again, only we're going to talk about how you will judge the nations. We know that, Father, you are in control, and the wicked will never beat us. And so we thank you, Father, for this word in your name, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for coming and growing in this word. God bless you guys, man. And next week we're almost done with the book of Matthew. It's pretty cool. We're going through the Bible. We're verse by verse. We're going through the Bible, and it's going to be radical, man. God bless you guys, and listen. No matter what you're going through right now, be still and know that I am the Lord, Jesus says. Just rest in him. Don't worry about tomorrow. Just rest, grow, read your word, and let the Holy Spirit live in you and work in you. Jesus loves you guys, and so do I. God bless you guys, and thank you for growing in his word.